Let's go to 1 Timothy 1, 9, and 10, and let's see who the law is made for. In verse 10, it says, these laws are for people who are sexually immoral. Now then, if you see somebody in the church that's sexually immoral, somebody says, well, I'm just living with my boyfriend out of wedlock just for a little while. Did you know, according to God's word, that is, you're breaking the law of God? The word of God says no sexual immorality. And so, but we're going to get married in 6 months. Well, let me tell you, in that 6 months, you can open the door to the devil and he can kill you. He can afflict your children. He can do all kinds of things. And people don't understand this. And that's why so many children are born physically and mentally handicapped. Now, do you want a physically, mentally handicapped child? No, I don't. I really don't. So how do you prevent that from happening? You claim the redemption from the curse. You tell God, Lord, I'm sorry that we were sexually active before we got married. We repent. Lord, if we're not married yet, we're fixing to get married. And until we get married, there ain't going to be nobody touch me. Nobody going to touch me until I get married. And will God forgive you? Of course he will. Yes, he will. Then he says there that these laws are for these people who are sexually immoral. They're for homosexuals. They're for slave traders, for liars and oath breakers, and for those who do anything else that contradicts the right teaching. I was watching a show the other night with Cheryl, and it was about the FBI in Washington, D.C. And there was a big container that comes in every week, and it comes into a foreign nation, a man, and so he's not under the law, supposedly. And so unless they knew something was really rotten, they couldn't demand that those containers be opened. But they come up with some kind of an evidence somewhere, and when they went in, they demanded that this thing be opened, and the guy said, no, you can't open it. I'm the overseer of this, and y'all have no legal right. You may be the FBI, the United States of America, but we're under immunity, and you cannot open this. He said, we're going to open it. At gunpoint, they made him open that container. And in that container was all these slaves. All of them were people from foreign. All of them happened to be black. But all these people, they had chained them inside of these containers. They couldn't go nowhere. Their legs were chained and their arms were chained. And they had been shipped around and thrown around with those things and put in places and hauled from places. And then they were sold as slaves. And this was the movie that we just saw that just happened. You couldn't think that people would do such a wicked thing to another human being, right? Now, is that man guilty of law? Yes, he is. And that man went to jail, and I'm telling you, he's going to suffer immensely for this. But you know, as a Christian, you don't even think like this. Now we're going to go to Romans 3:19. It said, obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to bring the entire world into judgment before God. It's given to those whom it applies. And who did we just read that it applies to? Those that are breaking the law. So only those that break the law. In other words, if you get out here on the freeway, we have a law called a speed limit. If you get out on the highway and start home this afternoon, and you get out on the freeway out here and you're driving 65, is there any law against driving 65? Not at all. But what if you're driving 90? Oh, there's a law against that, huh? And if you come over the hill, like we did the other night, we come over a hill and there was a guy in front of us. He was only going about 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. Bruce and I were out to pick up some parts. And this guy passed me and pulled back in front of me. We're driving exactly 60. And now this guy's driving 65 or 70 at least. And as soon as we come over the hill, there was a police officer. Man, he slammed on the brakes. You reckon he knew he was guilty? Sure he knew he was guilty. Did he want to get caught? No, he didn't want to get caught. Now then, he could have caused a real problem if we'd have been a little closer. But thank God, you know, we were far enough behind that it didn't create any problem. Then let's go to Romans 6:14-15. Sin is no longer your master, for you are no longer subject to the law, which enslaves you to sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. Now, let that soak in on you a little while. Really, let that soak in on you. Sin is no longer your master. So if that sinful creature says, oh, you need that drug, you need that alcohol, you need to smoke that cigarette, I got news for you. You are bigger than that sin. If you're a Christian, you don't have to yield to that. I mean, sin will push you to the limit. Oh, just go ahead and have one. Yeah, go ahead. You know, God will understand. Just go ahead and have a cigarette. Go ahead and have a drug. You know, no problem. I mean, you don't feel well, you're sick, so go down to the doctor and let them give you some medicine. And when you read the bottle, it says this medicine, which is given for high blood pressure, causes kidney failure after 3 years. You think, oh, that's no problem. I got 3 years. You know how fast 3 years goes by? And then you're out there with, yeah, you were able to control your blood pressure, but now then you come up with really feeling rotten, and the doctor said, I'm sorry, we need a liver transplant. How much that cost? Only about $350,000 for a liver transplant. Oh, if I had to just not believe that. Well, yeah, but that's where we live. That's where Christians live all the time. We do not realize who we are. Sin is no longer your master. If sin is no longer my master, who is my master? Jesus is my master. That's exactly right. Jesus, for you are no longer subject to the law. The law has no hold on me as a Christian if I'm walking in faith. It enslaves you, which enslaves you as sin. Instead, you are free by God's grace. Are you free? I mean, you know, you ask a lot of Christians, are you free? And they say, well, I think so. I hope so. Can you show me in a word where it says you're free? Well, no, I don't know that. But I heard my preacher say one time I was free. Well, you ain't free. You're not free because you do not have it. You're not walking in faith. You don't know where it's found. You couldn't take it to the devil and say, devil, it is written right here. And so I am free. You have no hold on me. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? I mean, lots of people say, I hear people all the time say, but Thurman, I'm doing drugs, or I'm living with a girl out of wedlock, but, you know, once saved, always saved. You know, God's grace, he'll forgive me. They think they're okay, and they believe that lie. And then they die in that sin. The other night, I was talking to a lady, and her daughter had went wild when she got to be a young 20-something-year-old woman. She just went crazy and started doing all kinds of things she's not supposed to. And the mother told me, Thurman, this is the prayer I prayed for my daughter. God, whatever it takes in Jesus' name to bring her back to the truth, anything except please don't kill her. Anything else, I don't care if you have to break her arm, break her back, put her in the hospital, what do you have to do? But there ain't nothing worth her losing her soul for. Well, I sat and talked with the mother and the daughter the other night, and the daughter said, you know, because my mother's prayer, God run me through some awful, awful trying times of tests. Wow. But she said, I finally come to my senses. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And before he killed me or broke my back or anything else, I repented. And she said, now my life is great. I'm walking in obedience to God's word. And so, see, that's what we need to do. We need to pray, Lord, if we got a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or whatever that's not walking in obedience to God's word, you can't change them. But if you're a Christian, just say, Lord, I turn them over to you. I want you to do whatever it takes. If it's your wife, Lord, whatever it takes to bring my wife back to her senses. You know, Lord, anything it takes. I don't care what you have to do to her. Bring her back to her senses. I want her to be home with me, a woman that'll love you and serve you and be a good wife to me. That's what your word says she's supposed to be doing. So whatever it takes, Lord, you do that to her. And Lord, if I've committed any kind of sin that's been involved in keeping this law or breaking this law, I repent. Lord, I want to walk holy and pure. And Lord, I've not been in the word enough. In fact, I was talking to a gentleman in his mid-60s last night. And this guy was sick. And when he called, he had, I believe, 5 or 6 surgeries on his left hip. And he's still in excruciating pain. And then he has prostate problems. He now, for the last 4 years, he's had prostate cancer. I said, well, sir, I said, have you been involved in anything that's not loving your wife? He said, oh, no, my wife and I get along great. Always have. I said, so you love your wife with all your heart. See, because it's in his left hip. And he's having all these problems. And he said, yes. I said, okay. And your prostate problem, I said, have you ever looked at pornography? No. I said, have you ever looked at other women? No. He said, I don't do that. I said, okay. Then I said, do you have any idea what you think has brought this sin upon you? He said, I've been listening to your CDs for a while, and I got a good idea. I said, what is it? He said, the word clearly says, I am to put God first in everything I do. And he said, I don't do that. He said, I don't study the word hardly at all. 4 or 5 years ago, before I met you and started listening to your CDs, I hardly spent any time with God at all. Now, the word of God clearly says you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. Does it not? So what do we think that means? What it says. Was he doing that? No. He said, I've not done that. But he said, since I've been listening to your teachings, I am beginning to do that. He said, I am spending an hour or two every day with God's word now. I said, okay. I said, now, are you going to continue that? He said, yes. I said, well, good. I said, now I want you to repent and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry that I have not put you first. I will put you first. I will study your word. I will love my wife and everything like you told me. I will be the guy that walks in love. I will love you with all my heart. I will love my neighbor as myself. And I said, will you do that? He said, yes. And he did that. I said, okay, now then I will pray the prayer of faith for you. I prayed the prayer of faith for him, Matthew 18:19. I said, now there's two of us here on the green. Now you're completely well in Jesus' name. I said, now all you got to do is praise him and thank him and it will happen. He said, I wished it would happen like Dr. Gary Young. I said, well, sure, everybody wants it like Dr. Gary Young got it. But I said, everybody don't get it like that. I said, that was a miracle. He said, Thurman, is he still a Mormon? I said, no, sir. He is now just a Christian. But I said, Dr. Gary Young's crushed back was instantly healed when I prayed for him. And I said, God had a plan. And I said, his ways are not mine and your ways. So he healed Gary Young instantly. I said, he may or may not do that for you, but I said, if you will stand on his word, get in his word, and start spending that hour or two with him every day, and then in the course of the day as you go, you praise him, you get up in the morning, you thank him for your breakfast, then you go out to work on your farm, you praise him for your equipment, you praise him for the grass and everything, praise him in everything. But I said, he will forgive you, and he will heal you. Because the man is not under a curse anymore. He's walking under God's grace. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? And the scripture clearly says, of course not. You cannot go on sinning.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety entitled Faith is Trust in God's Promises, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.